So the question was asked, how do we contend with A, the difficulty of coming to Israel where Jews take it for granted that they're surrounded by Jews, and B, how do we try to develop in others an appreciation for the gift that we have, that we're all together here in Israel. This is a question that really appears in many different ways. It's like in Chutz Arutz, when a Jew walks by a Jew on Shabbos, he says, "Good Shabbos." And in Israel, if you walk by someone you don't know and you say, "Good Shabbos," they'll look at you stunned and they're like, "Yeah, Good Shabbos." There are perks to living in our own country. And then there are certain things which were nice about living in a ghetto or living in a minority situation, which suddenly fall by the wayside. Another point which people who come from Chutz Arutz have difficulty with is that you lack a kehillah here. People do not turn to the shul as the central structure, the central social structure, as much as they do in Chutz Arutz. You know, outside Israel, the shul has functions, and the shul, the kids get together in shul, and shul is the place where everyone gets together. Many shuls eat suda shlishit together every Shabbos. Everyone eats together. I used to daven in a shul where they'd all eat breakfast together after davening every morning. So the shul really plays a central role in Chutz Arutz. And here in Israel, davening's over, everyone's out. You know, once in a blue moon, you have a kiddush, very nice. You go to a wealthier shul, they'll have kiddush every Shabbos, but still doesn't play that role, nor is there that feeling of a kehillah here in Israel. And that's something that's a little hard to find. I mean, you could find shuls, smaller shuls, where you do have that atmosphere of a kehillah. It's not going to be the same as Chutz Arutz. It just isn't, because you're living in a country where that's not the norm here, and that's I guess it's not needed here, or else people don't realize it's needed here. And that's a certain hardship in making Aliyah. And I'm not sure we could change that, you know. There's someone who's been after me for a few years now to start a kehillah for Machon Meir alumni. Start a kehillah where all the people who come from Chutz Arutz will have their kehillah. We'll have a place where they go to shul and they know one another and recreate that here in Israel. And I keep saying I don't think it's a good idea, but maybe it is a good idea, but just not for me. You know, maybe someone else should do it. I know there have been attempts to do it, and they've been somewhat successful. But to change what's around us, in that sense, I don't know if that's possible. But I think there are levels where we can affect a certain amount of change. The first key to affecting this change is being positive in the face of negativity. Not allowing the negativity that you face, not allowing the unfairness or the roughness that you face here in Israel to affect you, which is difficult. Because when do you encounter this most? When the taxi driver is trying to rip you off and you look at him and you say, "Hey, brother, I don't understand. If we were the only two Jews back in Copenhagen, we'd be appreciating the fact that we're together. What are you doing trying to rip me off, telling me that the fare from the airport is $53 and not 53 shekels?" And then there are many examples like that, which I'm sure you've encountered. The small-minded teller behind the counter who tells you, no, you needed one more paper. I can't let you through with that. And you're like, come on, it's an identical paper. What do you mean? Why do I need two copies for? No, I'm sorry. You'll have to go back and get it again. So I think the first key is not to get frustrated, to maintain the positive approach. To maintain that excitement, and that takes a certain amount of work. It takes a certain amount of appreciation. Hey, I'm here. That doesn't mean you have to give in. You know, when the driver tried to tell me that I should pay more for my luggage, and I told him that my luggage is within the criterion, and he told me, okay, so let's discuss this before you load the luggage. And I said, what do you mean? I just loaded all 10 pieces. What's before I loaded my luggage? When I came back with the kids now. And he tells me, well, I told you you're going to have to pay more. I said, no, you didn't. And I called your office before I came here, and they told me the price. You know, no one told me, not your office, nor you. What do you mean you told me? It just didn't happen. You know, so the guy's lying to me to my face. I don't have to give in. Being nice and being appreciative that I'm back in Israel and that we're all Jews here doesn't mean I have to give in. There's no reason I should give in. Why should I pay more? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm in line with all the agreements of the Nesher, the company. He's trying to change the rules on me. Okay, that there's no reason for that. And at the same time, I think there's still an importance to maintaining that positive attitude. I am fortunate. I'm dealing with a brother. I'm dealing with someone here. He's being unfair to me. It's wrong. The question is, how am I going to approach that? How am I going to approach it? And I think it is important not to be frustrated. I'm not yet dealing with the positive, because I think first we have to ensure that we don't become negative. We first have to ensure that we don't get frustrated by the system we're dealing with here or the attitudes that we see by other people. We had many students here who underwent the GEAR program and then had tremendous frustrations dealing with their fellow Jews who were not very appreciative of the fact that, hey, we're all one. Quite the contrary, they were looking how to take advantage of them. And people sometimes get frustrated in that, especially people who are Geirim or Olim Chadashim, and that's even brought some people to the extreme decision of packing their bags and leaving. And so I think the first key here is don't let it frustrate you. It's not right, but that's not a reason to leave. We can make it work, and we will make it better, slowly. No change occurs in a day. If you look around you, you'll see there are more and more olim. Look around. You can see it most blatantly in Jerusalem. That's why the prices of rent keep going up. But all over the country, from all over the world, there are more and more people coming. And it's true that the people coming from Chutz Lartz bring a certain appreciation that Israelis don't have, a certain appreciation to the fact that we are one, that we're here together. And so change is happening, slowly. It's true that there might be many Israelis that view it as naivety, that, he's so happy we're all Jews, I'll see how I can get more out of him. But that's what I said. I'm not saying you should give in because of this. But on the other hand, do not lose your appreciation. And if you can play that balance of not being a fool, not being taken advantage of, and at the same time being positive and optimistic and really being positive towards your fellow man, then I think over the course of time you hopefully become a walking Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of Hashem's name. And the nature of a person who is that way is that he affects others, because when people see it, they see that, hey, I can't take advantage of him on the one hand, but on the other hand, he's still nice to me. He's still a mensch. He's still a decent person. So then, slowly you move things. I remember once a taxi driver tried to take advantage of me, and I didn't let him get away with it. And afterwards, I gave him a tip. He was like, "What?" And I said, "Look, I just came from America. Over there, it's like not normal if you walk out of a taxi and you don't leave a tip. I've been giving tips to people who are not Jewish for the last 3 years. I could finally give a tip to a Jew just because he tried ripping me off. I'm not going to give it to him." And he just stood there in stunned silence. He knew he was trying to cheat me. And he walked away stunned. And then he walked back out of the car and said, "You're a decent person." He dropped me off in front of the yeshiva. You make an impact on a person. For what? For a dollar? But that's what I'm saying. There's a certain balance which is not easy to keep. On the one hand, you shouldn't be taken advantage of just because you appreciate the fact that we're all Jews here. That's not a reason you should be taken advantage of. On the other hand, you can project that optimism and that appreciation. Hey, we are all one, and that's a positive thing. The second point, I think, is to work into developing that into a level which can be attained, which is a level beyond what we're describing. It's not just an appreciation for the fact that we're all one. It's the level of really loving my fellow man, really feeling for other people. And it's different than what you're saying. But what we're describing is a good starting point. It's an excellent starting point, but it's something that should be developed into something else. It should be developed into true Avat Yisrael. What you're describing, I don't think, is Avat Yisrael. It's a certain feeling of oneness. It's a positive thing, but it's not yet Avat Yisrael. Avat Yisrael is that I really care for the other guy. It's not just I'm happy, hey, Machi, it's great to have another Jew here. No, it's something else. And I think the last point I would say is to also develop an understanding for those people who do not have this. Meaning it's very easy to come here and start looking at other people and saying, how come they're not saying Good Shabbos? And how come they don't seem to be as happy as I am that we're all Jews living in this country? And it's easy to become negative, and we said not to become negative. But even if I don't become negative, it's easy not to look positively upon them. And I think we have to understand that the only reason we are like this is because we came from a certain place. If we'd have been born here, we'd be like everyone else. We have a different perspective. So if we have that different perspective, we should be understanding of those who don't. We will continue our way, and slowly the change will happen. But we also have to have understanding for those who do not have this appreciation. If you were born in this country, and this is the way you grew up, and this is all given to you, so then you also wouldn't have any great appreciation. Okay, there's another Jew there, fine. It's like my kids got off the plane in America, and they whispered to me, and they said, over here there are non-Jews? That was like a new thing to them. That was new. No, that their concept was where we live, you know, everyone's Jewish all around you.
In Israel,
right? When we got off the plane, the United States, they're like, is he a Jew? All these are not Jewish? All these people? Are you sure, Abba? So many not Jewish people? They're like, they didn't believe me initially. We're walking in JFK. You know when they believed me? When they saw all these Arabs. JFK was loaded with Arabs. And they saw all these Arabs, then they said, Abba, you're right. There really are a lot of non-Jewish people in Kutzarts.
But something you can do here that you couldn't do elsewhere. You could probably put one of your little kids on the bus. You know your kid's going to get there, and even ask somebody to watch over your kid.
You know, the law over here demands that a child under third grade won't cross the street without giving an adult his hand. An adult. Try doing that in the United States.
Yeah, that seems like a rational one. Not even coming close to me. You know, right. And here, you can put your little kid on the bus and don't have a general same feeling of your kid's going to make it there.
I wouldn't be overly trusting, though, but
it's
yes.
It's not overly trusting, but it's much more so than...
Yeah.
That's better than that.
Yeah. Look, I always marvel at how all the makolets get their order of bread and milk, and all the basic groceries are sitting out of the store for a good few hours every morning, and no one touches it. Every morning, if you guys walk around at 5 o'clock in the morning, you see all around all the stores have their delivery of bread and milk and butter and everything sitting outside the store. No one touches it. All
even
over.
Even
in front of the machon, right?
The bread is here. The actual was here a couple days ago.
Yeah, no one touches it. Ever since they started bringing in a lot of people from all kinds of countries that were not Jewish, ever since then the theft has gone up a lot. The theft, if you open the radio and you hear about all the terrible crimes that go on, you'll always hear it's in these locations where these people are living. But generally, crime over here, up until they started importing people from all kinds of places, up until then, you never heard this on the radio. Never hear about a parent killing their kids and all the terrible murders that go on around here now. But you have to realize that the situation is not what it was 10 years ago. I would not be so confident leaving a kid just like that now, you know. And you also have to realize that Jews also do things that are improper, you know. It's not nice to say, but at the end of the day, Jews aren't perfect. So don't be naive on that front either. Okay, but that's in a nutshell. So we said, A, rule number one, don't get frustrated by what you see. Rule number two, try to be positive towards others and be a Kiddush Hashem yourself. Number three, try to develop what we would call a positive approach to others into true Ahavat HaBriyot. Have patience with others who don't have it and don't look down upon them and have understanding for them. And I think with time, Bezrat Hashem, as a people, if we can have this balance of not being taken advantage of, but yes, being positive towards other, and yes, reflecting this positive feeling over Am Yisrael being here, then with time that can shine and continue growing. On this point, mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll go on, just a quick sentence. 3 years ago, I made Aliyah to come join the army, and just about everybody that goes through the same process encounters the same reaction from Israelis, that we are, I use the word fayeh, that we are fools for coming and, you know, giving selflessly to a system that's maybe, you know, less less respected among, you know, it's more difficult to be in the army than somewhere else where you have all the better conditions. And the point is that, just like you said, you appreciate something when you don't have it, you know, being Puchlaret. And coming here to a place where it's more taken for granted, then you have a different kind of approach. You know, like they say, you're, you know, why would you do it if you don't have to? And so I lived with another 30 Americans on a kibbutz that we all had the same purpose, being there. And we all kind of had to build, like, radiate our purpose. And we did, if you listen, you have to listen to other people, but you can't, you know, accept it as far as, you know, when they tell you that you're wrong or, you know, you're a fool or this and that. You have to be 100% strong with whatever you came. Like, remember that even if anybody's made Aliyah here, just think about the first day you were here, what it felt like. And that's how, just like we were talking about earlier, when every morning you're a new creation. So every morning you're new Aleh Chadash. Keep that the same love every morning, every day. And if somebody says, oh, it's really not that great here, everything's corrupt, everything, there's no jobs. Okay, but you still have a purpose here, and that's, you know, no place is perfect, and you need to keep the same and be steadfast with whatever the oath you had coming in here, and every day feel like you're an Olah Chadash, and, you know, and let people know, you know, people who can't appreciate it, it's your responsibility to help them appreciate it.
Yeah, very nice. What he just said is really a pasuk. It says that when we bring the bikurim, the first fruits, we'll read in Parshas Kisavo, that when we bring the first fruits of the land, we make a declaration. We say, "Higati ayom Hashem lokecha kivati laretz." The farmer tells the Kohen, I came here to declare today that I came now to the land of Israel. So our sages say, how could it be? The guy's been here already. He's the 10th generation Israeli. And he's bringing his first crops, and he says, I declare today I came to the land of Israel. So Chazal say, yes, that's exactly the idea that we're trying to denote. The person is making a declaration. I will not take this land for granted. I might be here 10 generations, I might be the 20th generation here. But when I bring my first crops before God, when I bring the Bikurim, I will remind myself to appreciate as though, like you just said, as though I just got off the plane. Now I'm the Olei Chadash. I just made it here. And that's the gift of the land of Israel. And by the way, that's part of the idea of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Sukkot corresponds to Eretz Yisrael. The idea of leaving our homes and going into Sukkah is to make us appreciate our homes, to remind us that everything is temporary. The roof over our heads, Hashem gave us the land of Israel as a gift. There was a time when we were traveling in Sukkot. Remember, you were out in the desert and Hashem took care of you, and then you came back to the home. So part of the idea of Sukkot is also to remind us to appreciate the land of Israel. The land of Israel, the home in Israel. It's what the Ibn Yichya writes in his introduction to one of the Megillot. I don't remember. Maybe to Koheles. I don't remember. Or Shir Hashirim. I think in his introduction to Shir Hashirim. Okay. Anything else on this point?
Oh, well, not this point. I actually have something that I meant to ask you the other day.